This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page. Inshallah ta'ala, today we are on page 121, which is the final page of the sixth juz in Surah Al-Ma'idah. In the previous episode, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us the belief of those people who took and went to extremes in their belief regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and his mother Maryam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they disbelieved those people who said that Isa alayhi salam was the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Isa alayhi salam himself spoke to his people and he addressed them, the people of Bani Israel, and he clearly stated to them that his Lord and their Lord was Allah azza wa jal alone, that they should worship him alone without associating any partner with him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, inshallah ta'ala, as we come towards the end of this surah, Surah Al-Ma'idah, we will see again how Allah Azza wa Jal will address this issue with Isa alayhi salatu wasalam on the Day of Judgment. And that is that Isa alayhi salam never called to his worship, just like every other prophet that came before him and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Muhammad, that came after him. Every single one of them only called to the worship of Allah alone. No prophet, no messenger, no righteous person would ever call to the worship of anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this in the Quran, and that because of their disbelief in this issue, because they said that Isa was the son of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Jesus was the son of God, they will be in the fire. They will have the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal on Yawm al-Qiyamah. They will be in fire for eternity, for Allah Azza wa Jal has made Jannah haram for such people. And similar to that statement is the other statement, that Allah or God or Allah is one of three. ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ is one of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's also an act of disbelief or a statement of disbelief. And so Allah Azza wa Jal then says, وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا إِلَٰهُ وَاحِدٍ, but there is only one true God, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal calls those people to turn back to him, to make tawbah to him, to seek forgiveness from him subhanahu wa ta'ala by accepting Islam and by worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us the true status of Isa and his mother Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. As for Isa alayhi salam, he is from the greatest prophets and messengers of Allah that he sent to mankind. And we believe in many of those aspects concerning what is authentically narrated about him, whether in the Quran or in the Sunnah, that he was given a virgin birth, that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam could heal the blind and the leper, that he could bring the dead back to life, as Allah mentions in the Quran, that Allah Azza wa Jal saved him from the crucifixion and raised him up to the heavens, that he will return back at the end of time, that he will rule with justice and so on. All of that we believe because it is established either in the Quran or in the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have no problem believing in that and accepting that. But none of that amounts to divinity. None of that means that he's elevated beyond the status of being a messenger and a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Isa alayhi salam, Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَا الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. His true status is that he is a prophet and messenger of Allah. And it is therefore important for the Muslim to know that everyone has a status that Allah has given to them. Your parents have a status that you have to respect and afford honor to. The scholar, the imam has a status in this religion. The elderly Muslim has a status in this religion. The prophets of Allah have their status in this religion. The awliya of Allah have their status. Everyone has their status. But you don't go above and beyond what that status denotes and what it means. You don't, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell us in the Quran, if your parents tell you to do haram, you can't do haram just because they said so, because you should give them your obedience and your love and your affection, but you should still be good-mannered towards them. But you don't place them above the position that Allah gave. They can't tell you now to do haram, or they can't make the halal haram and the haram halal. Likewise, the scholar or the righteous person or the wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, You can't take them above their status and start making dua to them instead, asking them for their help, trusting upon them in terms of a divine nature, fearing them in the divine way, and so on. That's not allowed for them. And likewise, the messengers and prophets of Allah, including our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has a status beyond which he cannot be elevated. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why when the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "O Allah, O Messenger of Allah, I ask you to intercede on behalf of Allah. I ask Allah to intercede on your behalf." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Inna sha'nallahi a'zam." He said, "Glory be to Allah, glory be to Allah, glory be to Allah. Allah is far above, higher than this, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're asking Allah to intercede on my behalf? You're asking Allah to intercede for you, to me?" That's not the way that we have our religion. And so the Prophet would correct these beliefs when people used to take him and place him above his station. Then the man came and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, ma sha Allah wa shi'it. It is as Allah wills and as you will." The Prophet said, "Don't say that. But rather say, ma sha Allah wahda, that which Allah alone wills." Because the Prophet doesn't control the heavens and the earth. His decree and will isn't something which is always going to be. As we've seen throughout the seerah, many occasions the Prophet wanted something and it wasn't to be. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't want it to happen in that way. And so therefore, it is Allah alone that decrees and wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the divine universal way, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore, every person has their status. The status of Maryam alayhi salam, Allah told us, is that she is a siddiqah, that she is from the most righteous and virtuous of women, those people who attested to the truth of the prophets and messengers and believed without hesitation. They are a rung or a station just below the station of the prophets and messengers of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam. And that is why in our ummah, the siddiq of this ummah was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Every single issue, at every turn and point, he believed and he confirmed without any hesitation. Didn't need a long discussion, didn't need moments or days or hours to think about it. Immediately something would happen, he would be the first one to submit radiallahu anhu arda. And that is because he was a siddiq. And so Allah Azza wa Jal mentions to us this concerning the belief that we should have concerning Isa alayhi salam and his mother Maryam alayhi salam. And from the greatest signs that they were not from the divine is that they would kana yakulan al-ta'am, they would devour food, they would eat food, they were in need of food just as me and you and everyone else. That means that there was a weakness in them, a deficiency in them, like with every human, that we are in need of certain things for our survival and for our well-being. Today we continue from verse 77, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qul ya ahlal kitabi la taghlu fi dinikum ghayral haqqi wa la tattabi'u. ولا تتبعوا أهواء قوم قد ضلوا من قبل وأضلوا كثيرا وضلوا عن سواء السبيل. Say, O people of the book, do not overstep the bounds of truth in your religion, and do not follow the whims of those who went astray before you. They led many others astray, and themselves continue to stray from the even path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us here a very important instruction. And even though Allah azza wa jalla is referring to the people of the scripture, the Jews and the Christians, this is a command that the Muslims should also be very mindful of. O people of the scripture, لا تغلو في دينكم. Don't go to extremes in your religion. Don't overstep the bounds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set and the limits that Allah azza wa jalla has placed. That is the instruction to every person. Us as Muslims, we can't go beyond the bounds that Allah set, because unfortunately there are amongst the Muslims who will take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they will give to him certain acts of worship and devote them to him. There are certain people who believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is living with us right now. He can come and he can sit with us. He can be present, or that he knows elements of the unseen, or that he can help and benefit or avoid harm for us, and so on and so forth. There are people who give stations like that to other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to some of the awliya of Allah azza wa jal, righteous people, righteous scholars, people of ilm, people of knowledge, and so on. They give to them that status that they don't deserve. That's not our religion. Don't ever go to extremes beyond who the person is. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on his deathbed, "May Allah curse those people who went to extremes in their religion. Don't go to extremes concerning me the way that people did with their prophets. Don't say that I am the son of Allah or that I am equal to Allah, but rather say that I am the servant of Allah and his messenger." And that is why the Prophet ﷺ didn't allow people to build tombs on their graves. didn't allow people to have own structures and even tombstones and so on their graves. And that's what we see today, unfortunately, amongst many people, that when their righteous people die, or their imam dies, or their sheikh dies, they'll build a big tomb upon it, and then people go every year and they have these types of gatherings and functions and celebrations and so on. That isn't something from the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do it from any of the companions that died during his time, and there were major companions that died during his time. Did his uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu pass away? Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, the leader of the Ansar, people like Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu, people like his cousin Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, his adopted son Zayd ibn Haritha, all of these companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in, all of these people died and the Prophet didn't do anything for them. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died himself, you don't see Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or Ali or Fatima or Hassan Hussein or any of them doing this for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then likewise, after Abu Bakr died and Umar and Uthman and Ali and all of those major companions, you don't see the other companions doing the same for them, or those scholars who came after them in the time of the Tabi'een. So the sensible Muslim, the intelligent Muslim, sees all this and thinks, wait a minute, if they didn't do it, and they were the best of people, the closest to revelation, they had the most understanding of Islam and what Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted and is pleased with, then what need do me and you have to do it? Even if it is done with the best of intentions, even let's say for the sake of argument that it is done for a noble purpose with good intentions, at the very least it is innovation, because it's not something which is from the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it could potentially be far worse than this. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, don't go to extremes in your religion. Don't step the bounds in your religion. Because by doing so, you follow the whims of those who went astray before you. They lead many others astray, and they themselves continue to stray from the even path. You follow someone because he happens to be, you consider him to be a learned person, or you follow someone because they're the elders in your community or your family, and it's something which they've been doing, and they tell you, this is what we've been doing. Our fathers taught us this, our grandfathers did this before them, and so on and so forth. And so you're following a line and a link. But isn't that exactly what they say as well? The people who worship Jesus besides Allah Azza wa Jal, the people who worship idols besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who worship the sun besides Allah, won't they come and they say that we found our fathers and grandfathers? Why does the Muslim get to make that excuse and they don't? Our religion isn't based upon just the practices of people. It is based upon what we find in the Quran, and what we find in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what the companions were upon radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, because they understood best the Quran and the Sunnah. They lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they experienced revelation, and they understood firsthand from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what they should be doing and shouldn't be doing. And so their understanding of the religion is pristine, not least because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved their practice of the religion. He was there living amongst them. He saw what they were doing. He witnessed it. He was present there. And so he approved what they were doing. So if they were doing something, it means that he allowed it and he was happy with it. And if they didn't do something, it's because they knew that there was no goodness in it. Do we think that we're better than the companions? That we love the Prophet ﷺ more than the companions? That we got closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla than the companions? The companions have the greatest station in this ummah after its Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so going to extremes in the religion is a very dangerous issue, and one that people should be aware of. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse number 78, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُودَ وَعِيسَ بْنِ مَرْيَمَ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. Those children of Israel who defied Allah and disbelieved in Allah Azza wa Jalla were cursed through the words of Dawood and Isa, the son of Maryam, because they disobeyed, they persistently overstepped the limits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that because of what they did, of their kufr and their disbelief and the evil that they did, and associating partners in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite their prophets and messengers warning against this, then they were cursed upon the tongues of two of their prophets and messengers, Dawood alayhi salam, the famous prophet Dawood, and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is because all of the prophets of Allah that came, they cursed those people who turned away from their religion. They cursed the people who went towards shirk after they made tawheed clear to them. They were cursed because of their rejection of their prophets and their messengers. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says that the prophets that they respect, that they honor, that they believe in, Dawood alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, these are prophets that are accepted by the people of the scripture, either all of them or some of them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they curse them they cursed upon their own tongues. They cursed their followers if they turned away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. Because of their disobedience in following the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and because of them overstepping the limits and the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has set limits for everything. And so from the greatest of those limits, or the greatest limit, is the limit that Allah Azza wa Jal has set with regards to His worship subhanahu wa ta'ala and His tawheed. To overstep that boundary, to break that limit, means that you have now entered into the fold of shirk, and that is after which, or that is the limit after which Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't forgive a person unless they turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal in tawbah, and they accept Islam and they turn to Allah Azza wa Jal and His worship alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in verse 79, He gives to us a very important instruction, and that is that He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوه لبئس ما كانوا يفعلون. They did not forbid each other to do wrong, how vile their deeds were. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that from the problems that they had, or from the issues that they then struggled with, is when people started to stray, to innovate in their religion, started to do haram, one of the things that they would not do is speak out against it. They wouldn't forbid the evil. They would see people making shirk. They would see people distorting the teachings of the prophets and manipulating them. They would see people misinterpreting the words of revelation, and they wouldn't say anything. And Allah Azza wa Jalla describes that here as something evil that they did. And that is why from the greatest virtues of this ummah, from its greatest accolades, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the verse that we already covered in Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best of nations, meaning this nation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are the best of nations that have been drawn forth for humankind. Why? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. You enjoin the good, you forbid the evil, and you believe in Allah. And Allah mentions enjoining the good and forbidding the evil before belief, even though belief is the foundation of our religion. But Allah begins with these two because they are special characteristics in this ummah. Because there were people in the time of Isa that believed in Allah, people in the time of Musa that believed in Allah, meaning that they were sincere in their faith, but they didn't have this aspect that Allah Azza wa Jalla praised. So Allah praises this ummah, that we are an ummah that preaches, that conveys, that advises, that admonishes, that encourages people to do good and discourages people from doing evil and haram. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants in this ummah. And that is why for the Muslim, it is very important in their home, with their family at least, with the people that are close to them and dear to them, with their neighbors, with the people that they can, they enjoin the good and forbid the evil. It's not from the befitting for the Muslim to see something wrong and evil happening, haram, oppression, and you have the ability to change it. You have the ability to speak out against it. You have the ability to say something, and you know that what you will say will be heard. At the very least, you can register your opposition to this or your objection to it, and you don't say anything. That's a problem. And many of the problems that we have now in our communities as Muslims, many of the problems that we have with our youngsters and our youth, is because we as the elders and we as the parents and we as the teachers don't want to speak out. Or amongst our own people, our friends and so on, we don't want to say anything, we don't want to speak out. We see people openly doing haram, openly opposing the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we won't say anything. Won't enjoy the good. Won't tell people to pray, won't tell people to give zakah, won't tell people to observe the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will see haram and we won't say anything. And to remain quiet is a sin itself if you have the ability to speak out. That's different to the person who's weak, doesn't have the ability to speak, fears that if he speaks out he will be harmed, meaning people will oppress him or harm him physically or financially. That person is excused because of their situation. But you can speak out in many other occasions. There are people that you can speak to, that they won't say anything to you, that they may even respect you and listen to you. You have a role to speak to them and to advise them. And so by not doing so, is sinful. But not only that, because when the people stop enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, then evil becomes prevalent. And it becomes the norm. And other people become desensitized to it. And people become accustomed to seeing that type of evil. There was a time when people remember that people used to be modest. Or people, even if they were doing evil, or people that were selling drugs, they wouldn't go to an elderly person and harm them. If they saw a sister walking down the road, they wouldn't say anything to them, because they knew that these people, they have their honor, they have their position. We may be doing wrong and haram, but we're not going to go and... That's not something which a man does. It's not something which is from the characteristic of a man, let alone a Muslim man. And so they would stay away from certain people. You see a person who's practicing, he's got a beard, stay away from him, leave him alone. He doesn't want to harm you. Doesn't leave. But now we live in a time where people don't care. Women, children, elderly people, no respect for anyone. And that's because people stop speaking out. And when you stop speaking out against a small harm or wrong, that gets bigger and bigger. And people become more desensitized to it. And people become accustomed to it. And the next generation that comes, or people that come and follow, may not be as good as the first people. Because those people were closer to some level of goodness and piety. These people are now further away. They saw what people were doing before. They want to do more. They want to be better. They want to get more. And so they will always continue. And that is what shaitan does. Starts off with something small, and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger until it becomes a major problem. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says here, that this is what they did. They saw people doing haram, making shirk, they didn't say anything. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says that was an evil practice of theirs. So likewise, when we see people doing wrong or haram, you have to speak up in the way that you can, with obviously wisdom, with good preaching, with good manners and good etiquette. It's not about being controversial. It's not about being forceful. It's not about being violent or combative. But it is about you speaking the truth and advising people for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 80, تَرَى كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتَوَلَّوْنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَبِئْسَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لَهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ أَن سَخِطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَفِي الْعَذَابِ هُمْ خَالِدُونَ. You see many of them allying themselves with the disbelievers. How terrible is what their souls have stored up for them. Allah is angry with them and they will remain tormented. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you will see that these people, because they are upon some type of kufr and disbelief, they will become the allies of other people who are also disbelievers. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we know, in the battle of Ahzab, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fighting the Confederate armies, and then the people that he had a peace pact with from the tribes around Medina that were from the people of the scripture, they also then went and sided with the Confederate armies. And they broke that pact and that covenant that they had with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would prefer to be with them, because just as all of the Muslims are one in terms of religion, then all of the disbelievers are one in terms of, even though they may have differences amongst them, but all of them are upon disbelief. How evil is that which they did, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and how terrible is that which their souls have stored up for them. Indeed, Allah is angry with them and they will remain tormented. In the final verse that we will take today, because it is the final verse of the six juz of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 81, وَلَوْ كَانُوا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالنَّبِيِّ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مَاتَّخَذُوهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ وَلَكِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. If they had believed in Allah and in the Prophet, and in what was sent down to him, they would never have allied themselves with the disbelievers, but most of them are rebels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. All of the prophets that came, they didn't want money, they didn't want fame, they didn't want power, they didn't want status, they didn't want anything from the dunya. Their call was simple. Believe in Allah and worship him alone. Believe in the prophets and messengers that he has sent. Believe in the revelations that Allah Azza wa Jal has sent down. That's all that you have to do. And if you do that, Allah Azza wa Jalla will open up for you his bounties. And Allah will give you the blessings of this life and the next, and the reward of this life and the next. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will honor you in ways that you cannot even imagine. Those people that know the religion of Allah and have tasted the sweetness of faith and iman, they know how precious it is and how much they want to keep that sweetness of iman, how much they want to cultivate it and nurture it, and how precious it is to them, more precious than any type of wealth upon the earth. And those people who haven't tasted it, who don't know what it is, then they can afford to be negligent of it. But those people who seek it, who strive for it, who want it, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla allows them to taste it, those people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored. Knowing Allah Azza wa Jalla, knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing the Quran, this is from the greatest attribute or the greatest blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla can bestow upon any individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says all they had to do was believe in Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the revelation, and they would have chosen as their allies the believers. They would have chosen as their allies those people who have a similar type of belief, but instead, because of their disbelief, they turned away from the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they turned away from his tawheed. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.